Welcome to Nerdities. Bitches.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of appropriate ages, Nerdities proudly presents to you its podcast and internet trios champions of the world. I am co-host of the show, one-third of said champions. I am the alpha of alphas. The lord and master of the universe. Justin, as always joined by the god of the dad bod, the king of chaos himself.
Kyle.
Rounding out our trio, the Van Damme on the body slam, the saint of the cynics, the ultimate squish lord.
Then Cordell Walker, the Texas Ranger.
And now prepare yourselves for the greatest mind of all of wrestling podcast history. He hails from parts well known. He is the mouth of the East, God's favorite atheist. Oh, Mike. Mike, you got no audio.
Nope.
Nothing.
That's great.
There he is.
There you are. Hey.
What the fuck that was about. Yes, Mike. Mike, whatever.
And our young boy, the million dollar mensch himself.
Ow.
Thanks, bud.
I thought that was Emery.
So did I. I was taking a bite of food, and I popped up to, like, I thought I was going to see her face.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. That was really weird.
You should just randomly say hi, uncles, when no one is looking.
Let's see what happens. He'll ruin it. That's what'll happen. Become like a sound in a haunted house.
There's lots of wrestling, and like actual wrestling news that sounds like it's wrestling storyline.
Doesn't it all though?
Yes. All right, where to start?
So excited.
Sting's last match is coming up. And it's going to be him and Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks. And they announced the announced team for said match.
And it's going to be themselves to introduce themselves.
Yeah. And it's going to be Tony Schiavone and good old Jim Ross.
Okay, does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Do commentary these days?
Not together.
Yeah.
Because Schiavone's basically just been the in-ring interviewer.
Yeah.
He doesn't do commentary now for them?
Not too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is like a classic team. You can't really get much storyline going on between them, but it will be called like old school WCW.
And I think that was the angle.
How many times is JR going to fuck it up?
No, he'll do good on this because it's Sting, you know.
Well, it's not like he has a choice most of the time. It's just, yeah.
Well, but he's grumpy Jim Ross most of the time.
Yeah. Are we talking about character or just real life?
Yes.
Okay.
So Justin, I'm sure you've seen the online reaction to the match, like the four people in the match.
Yes.
I don't understand, and just so that everybody knows, like, Sting has such a storied career and is so well respected in the industry, right? You would think that they would let him pick his last opponents, right? Because it previously said he didn't want to wrestle singles, and that his final match he wanted to tag with Darby Allin, right?
He did pick his opponents.
Well, okay, but I'm getting to that. But you would think that they would let him pick his opponents, right? And Tony, given everything that we've read and know about him as a boss, would obviously be the kind of person to let a legend like that pick his final opponents, which, as Justin said, is exactly what happened. For some reason, there is such a large percentage of wrestling fans online that I don't even know if I can say that. There's so many, there's such a high percentage of people who claim to be wrestling fans online that cannot comprehend Sting wanting his last match to be against the Young Bucks.
Well, Kyle, there's two reasons for this. One, if said people on the internet are fans of WWE, they instantly want AEW to fail.
Twitter, a lot of them do.
90% of wrestling Twitter hates AEW. Why?
I don't completely understand why.
Why? I don't fucking know. Like, competition is good for everybody. You wouldn't be getting the quality WWE that we're currently getting right now if it wasn't for the fact that Tony Khan opened a fucking wrestling company.
So here's the thing. I think that that's not really true.
Oh, it's true,
just,
Kyle.
I think it's similar to how politics works, right? Like, the percentages seem to skew in a certain direction, but in reality, more people are more middle of the road than you'd think. It's just that those people are nowhere near as vocal.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who watch more than one company and enjoy more than one company.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they're like you and I and barely say anything online.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a very vocal minority, but they do the majority of the bullshit talk on Twitter.
I guess that's true.
Like, for example, yesterday, Deonna Purrazzo, who, congratulations, All Elite, right?
Yes.
On the women's roster now? Great. Love her.
Yes.
Jersey girl represent.
I've been calling for her to join AEW since AEW started.
Right.
Yes.
She puts out a picture of a photo shoot she did. And
which is a very common thing that she does. Yeah. Like, it's an almost daily thing that she does.
And them hips don't lie, bro. Okay?
Correct.
She's thick. Two C's.
Yeah.
But adorable. Right?
Yeah.
She gets fucking attacked by these three fucking asshats. All I saw was three comments that she had pulled out of the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, called her out for posting a bikini pic and their parents and shooting, you know, they're saying shit about the company and this is bad role modeling and yada, yada, yada. But, like, she's an AEW wrestler now. So she's got a fucking target on her. And people come after AEW. Look, I'm not, like, I love wrestling. I love all the companies. You know, I didn't like what Vince was doing at certain points, both company standpoint, business-wise, and then, you know, storyline-wise.
Yeah.
Right? But I'll give them credit. The shit on TV has been pretty solid.
Yeah.
But no one attacks them. No one goes after them.
No one? There's nobody shit-talking the WWE?
Just, it's usual, like, discourse and chatter about, like, why isn't this person getting a better push? Or, like, what are they thinking? We have a whole final segment about WWE that involves four different things that are all tied together.
I can totally believe that the trolley people are going to punch down and try and go after the people in the smaller company. The real slope foreheaded homers.
I just think that, like, I think the thing that frustrates me the most, right, are not the people who are like, I don't like the product. Because there are some people who just say that they don't like the product and then they move on.
Right.
Or there's certain people that say, like, I don't like this wrestler in particular. There are a lot of people who don't like the Young Bucks, and there are a lot of people who don't like Jon Moxley. I would say that the dislike for those three wrestlers exceeds the dislike for Kenny Omega now. Because Kenny Omega's been off TV or whatever. And with all this shit coming with Chris Jericho now, he's, like, on that list, too. So there's, like, four big names that people like to shit on about AEW. And pretty much the rest of the roster seems untouched in terms of being called out about anything or shit talked about anything. But I think the problem that I have with those kind of people are the people who, like, my biggest problem is the people who okay, who call out AEW as if
thank you, Emery. Love you.
These are Tiana pajamas. Anyway, so my biggest problem with people who shit on AEW, the people who shit on AEW because, like, of their crowd attendance, with the fact that they can't match necessarily week-to-week viewership of WWE. As if, even though the guy's dad is a billionaire, he's somehow supposed to wave a fucking magic wand and create the publicity that, like 50 years of continuous growth in the company has allowed. Like,
yeah.
Within, what is it, 4 years, 5 years now? Like, that's supposed to match the last 50 years of growth in another company.
Apparently. It's absurd. Yes. Very fucking absurd. But this is, like, this is wrestling internet culture.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked about Diana, about that. Another reason that AEW sometimes seems to get itself in trouble, or, like, finds itself on, like, you know, trending for not great things, is because the owner sometimes should probably not log on to Twitter and read comments. And so another situation happened with Tony Khan last week. For those of you that don't know, Jinder Mahal made a return to Raw. First segment we'll get into much more detail about in a little bit. But, like, he came in and he gets a title shot against Seth for, like, no reason. And then Hook over in AEW, who's 28-1, calls out Samoa Joe for a shot at the world title. And people, or Tony Khan's like, he's like, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about with, like, the bias. Like, no one's talking about how Jinder Mahal just shows up on TV one night and gets gifted a title shot. But they're calling out Hook for getting a title shot. Who is, again, 28-1.
Yeah, I mean, Tony's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
But Tony's also not being upfront with all of the facts.
Sure.
Like, most of Hook's matches have not come on TV.
Fair.
So, to say that he's 28-1 is great, but the viewers aren't going to see him as an unstoppable force. I mean, they did 2 years ago when he was on TV almost every week and he won, like, I don't know, 8 straight matches on TV in probably a 3-month span.
Still consistent, like, still on television. Jinder Mahal has been fucking nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
The only thing
he hasn't had a match in almost a year, I think it was.
Yeah.
Isn't that the standard WWE style now? Bring a person back, and they just cut to the front of the line?
depends on the person.
Style for a long time. Yeah, it's just surprising that it's Jinder Mahal. He's a guy that they've disrespected for like a decade.
Well, it's funny
Hold
though,
on.
Because that's a thing that is like seemingly a knock on AEW is the claim that all the new guys that they get in there that are bigger names are going to get a pass and cut to the front of the line, which hasn't really happened.
Especially when a legend like Sting, who just comes in there, they don't thrust a title on him. They're just like, All right, let's just do some work.
Oh, yeah, because he doesn't want one. Yeah.
I mean, if they really wanted to, I think he would let them put a title on him just to give it some gravitas, some marquee to it. Because he just wants to help the company out. And if they can convince him that putting a strap on him will help the company, I think he can do it.
In both companies, in wrestling in general, and I guess it depends on where they are in their careers, too, to an extent, but there are certain people, to your point, Mike, that can make a title, right? Like, I had my reservations about it early on, about the creating a new title, and then Seth carrying that title, being a title that would be carried in Roman's shadow, but Seth has absolutely made that title pretty much because he's the champion that's on TV all the time.
Yeah.
So it's almost to the point where, and I don't know, Justin, if you fall into this category too, or if the average WWE fan falls into this category, but I almost forgot that the reason why he got that title was because they couldn't let Roman lose either of the titles that he had.
I did not forget that, Kyle.
Like, I mean, when I see Seth now, I don't automatically think, "Oh, that's like the third title in the company."
I do,
which is what I thought early on.
No, that thought has not left my mind. so yeah.
We should advance.
So Tony says this shit. The internet attacks him, even Fox Sports and USA Network took digs at him. And then, like, people started really going at Tony, and they're like, how dare you, like, go after Jinder, blah, blah, blah. He the only thing he mentioned about Jinder, nothing personally, was just that Jinder hasn't been on TV in over a year, and he comes back and gets a title shot.
He didn't say he was a bad wrestler or anything.
No. And mind you, these people are defending a man that at the time, when they put the fucking title on Jinder, everybody hated it.
Yeah.
Everybody. And now they're like, give Jinder his shot. You should have given Jinder a shot like 4 fucking years ago when he was the fucking champion.
Was it a character hate or they just he wasn't getting over?
I mean, it was more than likely. I mean, most of it was he wasn't presented well enough. And that's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
People are, like, being so precious about this. He hated the fucking gimmick. It's racist. It's just like any time anybody of any ethnicity is put on TV when Vince was running it. Oh, you're going to be an angry Arab who's going to wear all the face garb. Well, but, like, why? Why can't I just be the dude from Ontario that I am?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it was that he played the anti-America angle, and that automatically makes a heel in that company. But another part of it was, when he won the title, in a lot of fans' minds, he was like the fourth best option of people to win that title. I don't remember exactly who was in the running for it, but I think it was some kind of like, when he won, was it like a fatal four-way or like an elimination chamber or something? Because when I remember him winning it, I remember being kind of a shock that he was the one who won it.
It was a huge shock. I think it was a multi-person match.
Yeah.
But I think it was at the time that, like, Roman was out with leukemia. Randy got hurt again.
Yeah.
Mox, they weren't using him like it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they felt strong enough to put the belt on Seth yet.
Yeah.
But moving on. Jack Perry hasn't been seen since the incident at All In. He showed up in New Japan over the weekend. I forget who the fuck he attacked. But he had an AEW contract. He ripped it up. And he put on a black armband that said Scapegoat. And so it looks like Jack Perry's going to be over in New Japan Strong for a bit. And I'm assuming eventually making another re-debut in AEW. But I don't see for like a couple months. Also, the former Mustafa Ali, or I think he's still using that, I don't fucking know. He announced that he's going to be having a match in Japan. Good for him. I'm glad he's out of the Fed.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler, or Nick Nemeth, if you will, made his debut all over the fucking place. He showed up in New Japan last weekend. He showed up at TNA the other night. He's blazing trails. Good for him. He looks good. I'm happy for him. I always felt they underutilized Ziggler. He didn't need to be like a multi-month-long champion, but like he would make, and he did make, a good transitional champion.
Did have you seen any of the interviews that he did recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the way he talks about the business makes me want him. Like, aside from the fact that he didn't really succeed for so many years, those interviews, like, double down on the fact that I want him to succeed so much. I would love to see him feud with, like, Cardona, somebody like that, or maybe like a Chris Bay would be a great person for him to feud with, just somebody that's going to give a quality series of matches to keep his name in the conversation for as long as possible, even if he doesn't win a title right away.
Well, funny you mentioned Cardona, because they announced a match for GCW.
Mm.
So we got all that covered. Bayley and Mercedes Moné, a.k.a. Sasha Banks, were both in attendance, all hooded up, dark sunglasses, watching Naomi's potentially final match with the company the other night. Jordynne Grace took the title off of her. So it was cool. Friends being friends, you know?
Yeah. Are you reading anything into that?
Am I reading anything into that? I know for a fact Sasha did not sign anything with WWE, but the talks fell through that the money was not what she wanted.
Yeah. Well, at the time.
They're not gonna. From all sources, she has signed with AEW. They're just waiting for the debut. They didn't wanna do the double thing with Deonna to make Deonna not look like an important, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, right? Because, like, in WWE, even if they had given her all that money, she would have come in and she would have started off as, like, the fourth woman in line anyway. Because they still got Becky, right? They still got Bianca, and they still got, why can't I think of her name? The one in Judgment Day. Why am I blanking on her name?
Rhea?
Oh, yeah, Rhea Ripley. Yeah, plus, I mean, you got Charlotte out there, too, so...
Well, Charlotte's out for a long time.
Yeah, right. But, like, when she comes back, she's going to be right in the top spot again.
Yeah.
But then, in, like, AEW, if she comes there, that women's division is incredible, right? But, like, it's so incredible that it's almost to the point where, like... It's almost to the point where AEW was a few years ago with the men... Or even with the tag teams. Like, all of these people deserve the belt. How are you going to get it on all of them?
Well, they have two fucking women's belts.
Yeah, they have more than four women deserving of a title.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be crazy.
If we go back, like, 4 months, they barely had anybody.
But that's the whole reason that WWE can't really get away. I mean, AEW can't really get away with giving someone a 2-year run with a title. Because there's so many people that deserve to hold it.
It depends on the person. If you make a valid argument for someone to hold it long enough, then yeah. I mean, Britt Baker's kept herself off television because fans were complaining they were seeing too much of her.
Right.
She was the hottest thing going besides Sheeta that they had.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I just think it was friends watching for friends, you know.
Yeah.
Ryback got on Twitter and said, the big man is coming back. People are clamoring for it. And that when he does, he's going to end the career of Bill Goldberg.
Sure you are, buddy.
So.
I think this is the most people are talking about him.
Oh, yeah, of course. But anytime Ryback comes up, I have to mention him. Even if it's just a passing comment like this.
Who's like the biggest person you think Ryback could actually beat in a real fight? Like the biggest wrestler, the biggest, toughest guy you think that Ryback could actually beat in a fight?
It's a lot of speculation. I don't know if he can actually fight or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's a big part of me that thinks Samoa Joe would stomp him into the ground for real.
Probably.
Samoa Joe probably could kick anybody in the business's ass. That's a terrible poll. Of course, Joe's going to beat his ass.
No, I'm saying that because Ryback, last time I saw him, was in incredible shape. Samoa Joe is not necessarily known for his incredible shape.
He's Samoan.
Size matters not.
He's also Samoan.
Yeah. That's racist.
It's accurate. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who he could actually take in a fight because, again, I don't know how well he could fight.
I think the question would be, who's the most believable person? Like, who is it make sense that he could beat in a wrestling match, that he could make it look good?
Nobody, because he's...
Oh, the last part eliminates this question from existence.
Yeah, he's a shit wrestler. Brian Dan... Look, listen.
With anyone?
If there's anybody in the business who could try to get a good match out of him, it's Danielson.
Oh, I throw AJ Styles in there too.
Maybe AJ. Yeah. Not anything on AJ's part. He tends to get frustrated real quick. AJ, he's got a very short fuse. If you've watched him do any of the up, up, down, down video game stuff. He's breaking controllers and shit. I don't think he could last like a pre-match run down with Ryback without like shooting him. Okay, that's enough Ryback talk.
Way too much Ryback talk.
We've got like 5 minutes to end this, so let's go quickly into our last two stories. Finally, a first-hand account dropped of what exactly happened at All In.
Wembley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Between Samoa Joe, CM Punk, and Jack Perry, and Tony Khan.
Yes.
So DJ Woo Kid, who was backstage at AEW's All In, said on the Jim and Sam show on SiriusXM yesterday that CM Punk was going ballistic backstage at the event and there was lots of blood during the scuffle with Jack Perry. Woo Kid was there to take place in an entrance with Prince Nana and Swerve Strickland. He confirmed that there was a huge brawl and that the big Hawaiian-looking dude, Joe, was trying to break it up. Kid says, Tony Khan was screaming at Punk, saying something about him ruining this moment for everyone and to get the fuck out there and wrestle.
So he starts out like Vince.
So it does seem that Punk started it. I mean, technically Jack Perry started it by being a shithead and saying something into the camera.
Punk through the first rounds, most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we only have 5 minutes, so I'm not expecting an actual answer to this. But first of all, shout out to Samoa Joe. By all accounts, the savior of the event, for how he handled that backstage, and also the way he handled the match with Punk afterwards. But then the follow-up question is, so given that account, even though it doesn't specifically say what Perry did in the encounter, do you think that his quote-unquote suspension was all a work?
No.
Yeah.
No, I think that Tony absolutely had to make an example, because Jack started it. Jack started it, but Punk lost his shit about it.
Yeah.
You know, so they're both at fault. Like, Punk's a grown-ass man and could have just been like, fuck you, kid, and let it go at that, right? Gone out there, had a hell of a match with Joe, and then whatever. But he didn't. He let it fester and get to him like he always does. And then spectacle, right? But Jack Perry should have just done the spot and not looked into the camera and been like, real glass, cry me river. Because everybody knows what you were fucking doing.
Yeah.
Last bit here. Then this is going to be a very abridged version. They hyped a big return on Raw 2 weeks ago. Out comes Jinder Mahal. The crowd's like, oh, fuck. This is kind of fucked up. But, like, you knew something was up. And then The Rock's music hit. The Rock comes out. He does The Rock thing. Yada, yada, yada. Says, why don't I sit at the head of the table? Blah, blah, blah. Setting up shit with Roman. The Jinder Mahal thing happens. And now, let's get into the Rock coming back. Was everybody was like, oh, fuck, it's going to be Rock Roman at WrestleMania. And, like, some people on the internet were like, they're not going to do that to Cody. Cody's got to finish his story. And I was one of the people that was like, no, it's The Rock. The only place that The Rock comes back for a match is WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania 40. It's a big event. Well, it was announced today that Roman will not be at the next two pay-per-view events. It will only be scheduled at Mania. So, Cody Rhodes got fucked right after he signed a brand new contract. On top of this, Seth Rollins hurt his knee last night. So, not sure. Yeah. Yeah. They said he was able to eventually walk around and put pressure on it, but that doesn't necessarily mean shit. That he had to be helped out of the ring.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
So. Wow. No, I'm just processing this, and I'm trying to think of how to deliver this the fastest way possible. So that means the ideal opponent for Roman at Mania was Cody. That match isn't happening because he's wrestling The Rock, and he can't lose the title because he's not wrestling again until Mania. That means he is going to be wrestling The Rock for the title at Mania, you would think. And then the ideal opponent for Seth Rollins at Mania was going to be CM Punk because they've had a build-up to it. If Seth Rollins is hurt, it means his belt needs to go to somebody else, and CM Punk is probably still going to get a shot at it. So, does that mean CM Punk is now going to get a shot at Drew McIntyre for that title at WrestleMania? Which still kind of works based on how they're telling the story, but it's just not as great as Seth, given all the online shit that went on between Seth and talking shit about AEW and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but where does that leave Cody? As either way,
fucked.
I don't see Cody slotting himself into either of those titles.
I've heard, you showed me an interview where they were potentially talking about Cody winning the Rumble and slipping in to that Rock-Roman match. No, that's not happening.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. I do like, because it was Bully Ray that was explaining it. I do like the idea of the way people think about triple threat matches is the same way I think about them. Is like, who gets the fall on who?
Right.
In order to save certain people moving forward for future storylines. So, like, no matter what happens, if The Rock, like, if that were to be a triple threat match and Cody were to pin The Rock, and Cody becomes the champion at Mania, but he never beats Roman to do it. Roman was just in the match. Like, I like story details like that, but, man, I don't know how they're going to get the best possible situation out of this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Cody needs to leave Mania as a champion with one of those belts.
Yeah, I mean, Cody's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Please end this.
That's a show.
All right. As always, if you like what you hear, you can like us on facebook.com/nerdities. Follow us on Twitter @nerdities. Email us at nerdities@gmail.com and check out nerdities.com.
While there, fuck yourself. Then, go to nerdities.myspreadshop.com, order t-shirts and hoodies and shit that you begged for. Assholes. Go to sinfulcreationsbyjustin.com, CINFUL, creationsbyjustin.com. Order some sweet treats. Valentine's Day menu is coming. And, yeah, do something nice for yourself or your loved ones. And order stuff for me. Joe?
While you're there, go to youtube.com/nerdities. Wow, I'm getting some crazy echo on my headphones. Hit that, smash that subscribe button. Bash the crap out of that subscribe button. Hit the bell to get notified when new content is coming, because we're in 2024 and a boatload of new content is coming, including Nerd ETs, our cooking show, a couple short films, and a feature film.
Maybe OnlyFans. Who knows?
So if you want to sponsor any of these things and give us a budget or sponsor the show and give us money, write to us at nerdities@gmail.com. We'll croon. We'll swoon. We'll talk about your business and our product. That's everything, right? So, sleeping is a Nerdies crew. Idiotic and probably thought I would don't worry next week to be far more. Let's get the next one. Boom.
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming, but more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed